The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. The SA-listed property industry, or real estate investment trust sector, has seen a massive rally for 2024, up some 30% to the end of September, and even more at almost 50% over the past year. Is it expectations around the interest rate cutting cycle or positivity on SA's new government of national unity that's driving the market? Are international factors also playing a role, with listed property also on the up globally? For insights on the sector's performance now, up to the end of the third quarter, that is to the end of September, I am joined by Gareth Elston, Managing Director of Gold Section Capital. Gareth is a listed property specialist and analyst. Welcome to the Property Pod, Gareth Elston.
Thank you very much, Suren, and great to join you again.
To kick off, are you surprised or was it expected considering the enormous discounts the sector has had following the COVID-19 fallout?
I think it's not that much of a surprise. It's definitely been good to see, and I think long-suffering investors are very happy to see the return coming through. But it's really, I think, on forward-looking views of where the sector has been and where I think everyone is hoping that we see the economy moving, and especially interest rates. So a lot of it is based on forward earnings views and cash flow views, so that's definitely helped. I think it's been quite sharp, the bounce, which has been pleasing to see. But I don't believe this time it's been overdone, which is very pleasant, because quite often within the listed property sector in South Africa, we've seen movements at times that have really defied logic. But I do not think that we are in one of those phases at the moment. And it really is more of a return to probably a little bit of sanity within the sector, which is very pleasing.
The third quarter has been especially strong in terms of a bull run, over 5% up in September. And according to your latest note on the sector's performance to the end of September, 19% for the quarter. Is that a record of sorts?
No. So this isn't the best that we've seen recently. So the best we've seen recently, we would go back to the final quarter of 2020. Where we had that massive rally in the fourth quarter off the Pfizer and Moderna news on the vaccines that were going to be coming through, that came through in November of 2020. So that outperformed this rally by a few percentage points. So back then it was about 21% for the all property, which outperforms this. But, considering that we're not in the middle of a pandemic, and we're not in the middle of a groundbreaking medical breakthrough that really pushed markets massively higher during that time, it has still been quite a spectacular rally, which has been great.
You mentioned interest rates a little. We'll get more in detail on that. But is it GNU or largely interest rate expectations that are driving the sector's performance at the moment?
It's part of it, and I think they both go hand in hand. Anytime you have a weak government, you're going to be having interest rates being under pressure as the currency gets under pressure. So they do go hand in hand. It especially also goes hand in hand with, I think, hope for economic growth. So within a property company, you always want to be working in an environment where the economy is growing, businesses are robust, your consumers and your tenants are not under pressure, both in terms of income and costs. So they do work together in what becomes a virtuous cycle. So I think we're seeing the markets expecting more cuts to come through. The small cut at the moment isn't going to be making a massive difference, but it starts to signal a turn really in the cycle. And as you know, sentiment is vital, especially for property in South Africa, which has been under pressure for so many years.
Just some insight from yourself on the SA-listed property sector's performance compared to its global peers in the US and Europe in particular. How are we doing compared to those markets?
So we've been doing very well in terms of how we would compare versus, let's say, the largest global index, would be the FTSE EPRA REIT, is especially in ZAR terms with the recent strengthening of the currency, as we've outperformed, South African oil properties outperformed the FTSE EPRA by just under 9% in rand terms during the last quarter, which has been great to see. But that's not to say that there hasn't been very good and positive moves internationally too. So we are seeing a nice recovery in most of the international markets too, especially if we're looking at Australia's been very strong. The US has been good. Canada's been very strong. France and Spain have also done quite well. But then Asia's lagged a little bit, and some of the secondary markets in Europe have also been sort of lagging. But in general terms, we have performed very strongly, but we're not alone in that. So, Australia and Canada have both had very strong performance during the last quarter as well, which has been great for general property investors, because you want the whole sector really to be doing well and investors to be coming back into it after sitting on the sidelines for a few years.
Is it fair to talk about whether the SA sector is the best performer? Because I know there are questions where local investors would particularly interested in offshore, considering the exchange rate benefits and that sort of thing. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what's been interesting is if we have a look at that, last month was very busy from a results and both updates and pre-close announcements from companies. So it was very a very information-rich month, which has been quite good to see where things are trending and trading. So if we have a look at the strong performance last month, we have very strong performance coming from, high prop and a tech in particular. High prop is still struggling a little bit, but their guidance is going to a place which is not as negative as they had guided to initially, which is very positive. A tech delivered an exceptional set of returns. And with both of them, you've got them managing to finally exit their Africa, taking the risk out from the African investments that they've had, which these have now been passed on to Lango. So that's been very positive in terms of that. So it's quite interesting to see that where we had a very strong movement in industrial before, we're now seeing appetite coming back a little bit into the retail side, which is and the large retail side, which is quite quite positive and good optimistic on that. So we should see them, carry on as things normalize. But, it's still, we need economic growth and we need rates to come down for the retailers really and the large malls to really carry on with this performance they've got. But, in terms of especially what a tech delivered results-wise last month, it is looking a lot brighter and a lot clearer, which is excellent to see.
Thanks for that, Garrett. Interesting you mentioned Hyprop and Attack. Both of them were involved in that Atterbury Africa trek. And I know in your previous role, you were one of the analysts that were quite critical about them losing money on those investments. Is that also part to play in Hyprop's recovery in particular? Because I think they were one of the top performers from an SA REIT perspective in September and as well as August when I last reported on the sector's performance. Hyprop was on a massive discount as well.
Yeah, so they're still all under, quite large discounts at the moment. And it's more around that we're seeing conditions improving slowly. They're not going to, the South Africans aren't going to be going to the malls and spending wildly the way they used to, because they're still under quite a bit of pressure. A 25 basis point cut helps a little bit, but it's not going to make a giant difference to consumers as well as tenants. So it's going to take a little while for that to come through, but it really takes a huge amount of pressure off both companies. And also, especially getting out of the African, taking the risk off the de-risking with this, the Lango and the international, passing that on to Lango, and getting, moving this debt overhang that was potentially hanging over both the companies from the African investments. It is a huge improvement in just their overall risk profile going forward, which is very positive. So it definitely is part of it. But we're seeing green shoots on the underlying trading data from both of the companies that's coming through, which is really, very important as well.
You mentioned those two companies, but we moved a little bit on to my next question on Woo at the game is you talked about high prop and attack, but I see Burstone was another one, but they also announced quite a significant deal recently. Do you want to share some insights on who the other big gainers were during this period?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Burstone has been doing a lot of pretty innovative deals, mainly in the overseas markets, especially in Eastern Europe. And they had an update within the month as well on the progress of these and new initiatives. So that definitely has also, I think, got the market relatively excited. We also saw results coming through from SA Corporate, again, which is a mix of retail as well as some residential, which has been positive. And then, you know, in the month, we had a continuing good performance from the likes of Fortress as well. They're doing very well with their moves after losing their REIT status. I think they've really been able to focus on fixing the business up, turning it around, and focusing on really just their day-to-day core operations and international operations too. And those have been going very well. So that's been very positive. We also, in terms of the larger REITs, they're still struggling a little bit, like Redefine. And we had Growthpoint having results as well as in the months too, which were quite disappointing, especially from a Growthpoint point of view, except for performance on the V&A waterfront. But in general terms, those are doing very well. And if we look at it on an annual basis, you know, we've seen very, very strong performance coming from Fortress, Hyprop, Attack, and Resilient during the month. And then, you know, coming down from that, there would be some of the smaller companies. But it's been mainly good news, which has been, I think, exceptionally helpful for the overall sector to get that appetite coming back in from investors who really, you know, lost it for the whole of 2018, 2019. And then, you know, the impact of COVID really just took the wind out of the sails of the sector for many years now. And we're starting to finally see some of that appetite starting to come back. And the investors that really, I think, were positive enough and understood the sector well enough to understand that the discounts that were around last year especially were just not making sense from an investment point of view and started to come in early, they have really been very well rewarded. I think that's been great to see, is that you know you don't want to be buying into the recovery after it's already started getting moving. So some of those early movers definitely have been very well rewarded.
Well, if you're on social media, you'll see some punters of people investing overseas and talking about the value and the benefits of that. But as you said, those savvy investors investing at the bottom end of the cycle, even 50% up, that's quite tremendous over the last year. Talking about Growthpoint, I don't have a question per se, but both Growthpoint and Redefine, while they not performing as well as maybe the purely retail sector stocks, I noticed that Growthpoint, for example, is like up 8 to 10 billion. So that's quite significant. And the sector overall, if you compare it with the growth, it's over 100 billion rand difference compared to this time last year. So it is quite significant then.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. So, you know, Growthpoint, when we say lag, it's very relative because they're up by over 25% for the year. So it's certainly not a level of performance that's there's anything to sneeze at. And considering the very wide holding that Growthpoint has as well in a lot of investors' portfolios, it has been great to see. And then, you know, the thing with Growthpoint and Redefine, the thing to always remember with them is, you know, they're giant companies and, you know, they say turning around an oil tanker is not really all that easy. So in terms of what they've managed to do over the past year, it definitely has been good to see. There have been very good moves from both of them. But, you know, another company that I'd like to just mention as well, while we're sort of in talking about both local and international moves that have been done very well, has been Vukile, which has really been, I think, exceptional in its capital allocation over the past few years, is looking after their local investments, but then also being very opportunistic and very disciplined in the expansion in Spain, which has really paid off for them as well, which has been great to see.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Vukile, because on a very technical side, the discount for Vukile is lower than the discount for Hyprop. So the growth in Hyprop, you know, there is some context around that where there was a bigger discount that Hyprop needed to overcome. You know, a lot of focus will go on to Hyprop at the moment, but Vukile's moves in Spain and the Portugal decision is quite interesting. You're not the first analyst to comment on that. So it will be interesting to watch going forward. Gareth, what are your expectations for the rest of the year? Is it okay to say that REITs are probably going to remain the top performing asset class for 2024?
We would definitely like to see that. And, you know, always barring some shocks that could come from outside of our markets, it's I think they're still very well positioned. As rates hopefully start to come down more, that will also definitely help. You know, we've got the Christmas season is starting to come up as well. Hopefully consumers will start to feel a little bit more positive as well with general trends within the country too, so that their purse strings are a little bit looser and they're happier to spend and more comfortable spending than they were, especially looking at last year at the same time. So I think the sector is relatively well set from that point of view. I think it's not to expect, you know, massive fireworks and things to start coming out. I think, you know, we're not going to be seeing records being set by the companies, but we're seeing a return to normal, which in itself, I think, is massively important for such an important financial sector within the country as well. And I do think we'll start to see things normalizing, conditions getting better, more positivity coming in, and the results basically steadily improving, which I think is what we would all like to see, is that a steady improvement. And what we've seen with the last set of results and updates is we are starting to see that. So I think we should have some good trading data coming through from the final quarter of the year. I probably expect that we're not going to be seeing the same level of share performance from the companies during the fourth quarter. But in terms of underlying financial fundamentals that they're going to be delivering, I think those will be a bit more positive, but share price performance might be a little bit more volatile in the last quarter.
And next year, is it too presumptuous to ask, is there room for further recovery in the sector returning to its heydays when we saw premiums to NAV?
Yeah, so I don't think we're heading for, you know, premium to NAV anytime soon. But, you know, if we can, I think everyone would be very happy if we can just start getting close to NAV or to, you know, limited discounts to NAV would be good enough. Next year, I think we will still be seeing good news coming out of the sector, especially in terms of results and trading statistics across the sector and a normalization of that, as well as a normalization of the international economic, the same sort of factors in the international markets where we are, especially Eastern Europe, Spain, Portugal, France. We should be seeing those getting better and better as well. So we should be still seeing, there are still good opportunities for positive drivers to come through next year for the sector. So I don't think it's going to be a 1 year and done. We should be able to see this recovery start to go on for a while. And remember, we're really trying to eventually get back to where, you know, the sector was at the end of 2017. It's still working its way back there. Total return terms, it has gone past it, but in terms of just general terms and the general market, it's been a very long journey down and getting back up again. So there's definitely an opportunity to run, and I think there's still a lot of positive things that will be coming out of the sector, both for the South African holdings and the international holdings of the South African listed property companies.
Gareth, just to conclude on interest rates, when will we see these benefits come through? Because you did warn in your latest note from Gold Section Capital up to the end of September that the benefits might not necessarily be felt straight away, because we've only seen our first cut in September and the SARB is taking a little bit of a cautious approach, probably 25 basis points at a time as opposed to the US.
Yeah, so I think first of all, we expect relatively small cuts to happen, which don't make a giant change to the needle straight away. But what they do is they do take pressure straight away off most consumers. So in terms of their bonds, in terms of their credit card debt, which enables them to be a little bit more open to spending, which assists tenants. So that's the plus that comes through pretty quickly for the listed property companies. But in terms of the listed property companies' costs themselves, is you have to remember that the bulk of their debt is fixed. So when rates start to come down, it's really only their floating facilities that come down straight away. The rest are fixed, and they're going to be paying over the odds for a while still. So as they renegotiate these, as these roll off, as they issue new bonds at lower rates, then these start to come through. So it takes some time as well for their costs to change, especially on the debt side. So it's not something that happens as quickly as it does, for example, on on your bond and my bond when these things are announced, and we see a change almost straight away from debit order to next. So that's important to bear in mind, that it does move a little bit slower for that to happen. So the plus is that when rates are going up and they've got fixed rates, they're protected. The negative is that when it goes the other way, is they can have a bit of a lag. So it really, it's important to look at the companies and see what their debt expiry profiles are, how long it's going to take for them to do it. And then it comes down to how well and effective the treasury functions are within the companies as well to get their rates down as soon as possible, to renegotiate their debt, to work with their lenders on this as quickly as they can. So that's just really what makes the process a little bit more delayed than what we would expect as a normal consumer within the market.
Gareth, I appreciate your time on the podcast today. That was Gareth Elston, Managing Director of Gold Section Capital.
Thank you very much.
Gareth, I appreciate your time, especially at the short notice. And I'm glad you're back commenting on the sector. We'll chat soon.
No, absolute pleasure. Anything you need, just give me a shout. No problem at all, Sarin. Have a great day and a good weekend, eh?
You too. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Sarin Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Sarin on Twitter at Sarin Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.